Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Rookie Borgalis looking for a funny hop. And Genty, boy, heady play to just push it out of bounds. And the Raiders trying to put the finishing touches on a week one win here at Gillette Stadium. Final seconds will come off the clock. The Raiders win it 20-13. Geno Smith sensational as they'll take a 1-0 record into their game next week against the Chargers.
Final hour, Jones and Keith here on WEEI. It's a Patriots Monday. WEEI Afternoons. We'll check in with the quarterback, Drake May. Rough start for him. Rough start for the Pats in general. That comes your way on WEEI Afternoons at 2 o'clock here on WEEI. We'll get back to your phone calls coming up at 617-779-7937. We spent a lot of time today on Drake May. We'll get to Vrabel coming up in just a moment. The defense in general, though, Keith, how much Geno Smith carved you up?
Yeah.
And to a lesser extent, Jacoby Myers carved you up? It doesn't have me feeling great.
No.
Going into next week against Miami. And I know the Dolphins look like trash in week one.
Maybe the worst team this weekend.
But it doesn't have me feeling great going against those receivers and that passing game, which traditionally has had success against the Patriots. Geno Smith to Jacoby Myers. Bowers is one thing.
Yeah.
Jacoby Myers, nice receiver, far from a dominant alpha, you know, top dog type of receiver. That was a problem for them yesterday. I didn't feel great about the defense either. We haven't talked as much about that today. But Geno Smith had way too many big plays, easy plays throughout the game for the second year in a row.
He threw for 362, and by the end, like, they were protecting a big lead, so they weren't even asking him to do it that much. And Brock Bowers got hurt and left the game. And so, yeah, Jacoby Myers just coming up with too many big catches to extend drives. And, yeah, Geno Smith looked like a top 5-10 quarterback in the league. And maybe we do undervalue Geno Smith. That's fair. Like, once you're sort of that guy that's like a bust, even when you sort of turn it around, there's still you look at it sideways. You know, Ryan Tannehill had this with Vrabel in Tennessee.
Yeah.
Tannehill and Geno Smith came in the league kind of similarly. They both kind of turned their careers around, but you never really fully trusted it. But Geno's been, you know, a couple Pro Bowls, and like he had a big game last year against him. He had a big season last year, even, you know.
Yes, yeah, so, I mean, Seattle last year won 10 games.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
yeah.
If Drake May's winning 10 games, no matter what his stats look like, we're going to go, oh, it's a pretty good year.
But your overall point, like Jacoby Myers, I don't think is a great receiver. He's their best. They have some, like, young, fast guys that they have, too. And Brock Bowers is a stud. The defense did a pretty good job on Genty. I know he got in the end zone, but like Genty didn't do really anything.
Genty did nothing. We got a text about this earlier. Yeah. Like, oh, the Patriots couldn't run because Carroll took it away. Well, the Pats took away the Raiders' run game, too, and yeah. Geno had plenty of answers, unlike Drake.
No, but they picked him off. Like, Carlton Davis made a really nice play, and they did get to him four times. Like, they had four sacks and a pick. Like, overall, I like that, but 362 yards, like, no.
Way too much. This text, 617-779-7937. Guys, I think the game would have been completely different if Gonzo was healthy. Let's put a pin in that for a second.
Mm-hmm.
The defense killed it for them. Davis being lost on that one play didn't help either for the 15-20-yard gain. He's talking about the 20-yard bomb.
I was
the third and 20.
About Hawkins? But
No. Oh, well, Hawkins got lost on the touchdown to Trey Tucker. I think he's talking about the third and 20 where Carlton Davis got lost.
Yep.
Gonzo would have made a difference yesterday.
Of course.
Here's the question. And I didn't know how much of a difference he was going to make against the Raiders. But here's the question. Is he ready to go? Can he be ready to go? Like, what? Like, is he even hurt? I heard Curtis talking about this today. It did tie together pretty nicely where one of the first plays from contact in pads, he went out and got hurt almost immediately.
Yeah.
Vrabel already said he's pissed about his contract. So...
Yeah, but I don't.
Is he actually hurt?
Yeah.
Could he have pushed himself to be out there? Like the Gonzo thing hanging over the. If you agree that they needed Christian Gonzalez yesterday. Well, there's a chance he could have pushed himself a little harder to be out there.
All right, am I wrong on this? Can they not give him a full extension until next year anyway?
Correct. You can't give him the contract yet.
So that's why I don't fully buy the contract stuff. I do fully agree.
Well, why did Vrabel bring it up?
I don't know. I fully agree with you. Vrabel mentioning it is what's breathed life into this whole thing. But it's weird because you can't make this go away right now with $150 million or whatever.
No, you can't, but maybe...
And also, not playing is not helping you.
No, but maybe there's... you're right, they can't offer him the contract yet, but nothing's stopping you from being like, hey, when Christian's a free agent a year from now, his agent is talking to, you know, Kraft, Wolf, whomever, I don't know.
Yeah, not Wolf.
And, you know, Cowden.
Yeah.
Stretch. Vrabes.
Yeah, one of these guys.
Whoever they're
talking
to.
Somebody that has
control. And... they're starting to get like an idea of where the Patriots are at on the contract, and the two sides just aren't close. Like, maybe it's something like that. Like, you can't offer it, but maybe it's something like that.
I feel like next year at this time, if he doesn't have a deal, then I would be skeptical of every single injury, every single comment, every single everything. This year, it seems like you're actually doing yourself a disservice. Now, it doesn't mean he's getting bad advice and he's listening to bad advice, but he needs another good year. He barely played as a rookie. He was good last year.
Yeah, what did he play? He played four games as a rookie.
Four?
Really good last year.
16, I think, last year.
Already out this year.
Yeah. You're not helping yourself. So hopefully he's back there sooner rather than later. I'm with you. He's their best player. So anytime you lose a game, especially when he's a corner and the quarterback throws for 360, yeah, you absolutely could have used him.
Okay.
Although I don't know how many points the Patriots offense would have scored, even with Gonzo out there.
Twitch chat is saying, Vrabel didn't say he was pissed about his contract. I didn't say he was pissed about his contract. I said Vrabel brought up his contract out of nowhere.
Yeah, Vrabel was asked just about him, like, it was a very innocuous question.
The question was, Drake May is kind of the leader on offense going into year two. Christian Gonzalez going into another year, like, what do you expect?
And he's like, my job as a head coach is to make sure these guys make as much money as they can.
Out of nowhere.
Like, what? And he's like,
out of nowhere. Yeah. So, no, Vrabel, I didn't say he said he was pissed about his contract.
No, he's not.
I think Gonzalez might be pissed about it. That's not what Vrabel said. Vrabel brought up the contract out of nowhere, which we highlighted in real time, which we thought was odd. Then he was hurt. He was supposed to be back week one. He's not. So if you agree that the defense missed him yesterday, I wonder how hard Gonzalez is trying to be out there. And I wonder how hard he's working to get back. And I wonder if any of it is, well, you know what? I'm waiting for my contract, so I'm going to take my time. And I wonder if the Patriots are frustrated by that. And so I think all those things are fair to wonder. We don't know the answer, but I'm wondering about that myself. 617-779-7937. On Vrabel, I just didn't think things looked different enough from a year ago. They were undisciplined, a lot of penalties.
Mm-hmm.
They turned it over, could have been twice. May with another bad pick. The offense still looked completely overmatched. Defense, they got carved up by the likes of Geno Smith. So when I say last year, week one last year, Mayo actually had him ready to go. Vrabel didn't. Mayo's starting ahead of where Vrabel was a year ago.
Yeah.
But I'm talking about on balance, the way they looked under Jerod Mayo last year, that's how the Patriots looked yesterday.
Yeah, I think everything on a game day that you sort of associate to the head coach, it kind of went poorly. So penalties, you're right. They had nine accepted penalties for 70 yards. Mm-hmm. That's brutal. The first possession for the defense went terribly.
Oh, my God.
Gino, just carved up.
Six plays, 66 yards, touchdown.
The first drive for the offense went terribly.
Three plays, two yards, punt.
Halftime adjustments?
Nope.
Okay, so these are some of the things. Like, were you prepared to start the game? Did you make adjustments at the half? And then, like, how buttoned up was it? Vrabel's own line himself was all about the, you know, you can't have the dumb stuff that gets you beat. I think there was a swear in there, but like like the stupid bleep that gets you beat.
Yeah, the crap that gets you beat.
Yeah, you got to like, well, they had a lot of that stuff.
Yep.
But they had a ton of that stuff. And so you're right. That didn't feel like there was a brand new coach on the sideline just watching the game.
No, this looked like if you told me Jerod Mayo was the coach yesterday, I wouldn't have known any different. So they weren't ready to go. They weren't well coached. Maybe that changes this week against the Dolphins. You know, Mike McDaniel could be out of a job in a few weeks. The team may have already quit on him. So maybe we feel a lot better about that after week two. But one week in, we got to see it finally. And they didn't feel like they were ready to go, which again ties back to the offseason. They had a light offseason, light training camp in terms of contact.
Right.
Drake May barely played. So what do you know? The guys weren't ready to go. That's on the heck. That's his whole operation. That's his whole approach. So that was disappointing yesterday, and I'd say none of it's acceptable. Let's go to the phones. Jay's in North Carolina. Hello, Jay.
Hey, guys. Good show. Thank you.
Thank you.
Premature observation with a disclaimer. One game does not a season make, but I know that the Patriots, they appear to be unseasoned, whereas the Raiders were a seasoned team. And Define
season. You mean well coached, like ready to go? Seasoned. What do you mean by seasoned?
Like marinated.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with what you said, is that they didn't play the starters a little more in the postseason.
Yeah, Vrabel had his chance.
They just weren't ready to go.
No.
On any aspect of it.
Who else do I blame for that besides the head coach? Yeah. So he said he wants to withhold judgment on Vrabel. That's fine if you want to withhold judgment. But I don't know. We're trying to talk about what happened yesterday and react to what it looked like yesterday. And the early returns on Vrabel, bad. Yeah. They rip off three straight wins. We'll turn it around and we'll say differently. But the early returns, not so hot. Let's go to Adam in Canton. Hello, Adam.
Hey, guys. When I heard Bill Belichick this weekend online, I thought it was like one of those AI spoof videos.
Yeah.
I mean, that's something Rex Ryan would be saying, not Bill Belichick. But then you watch the Patriots yesterday and you say, maybe he actually did his team a favor by not allowing the Patriots into his building because they look like a complete trash team. And let me tell you this, if they go down and lose to Miami after how Miami looked this weekend, it is going to be a bloodbath up here.
Okay. Yeah, there is that. But the Belichick thing, it's funny because that question, so we played it earlier, basically like, hey, there's a report that Patriot scouts aren't allowed there. And he's like, yeah, I'm not allowed there, so they're not allowed here. That is true. That is very much a Rex Ryan thing. Any other year, Bill Belichick would be asked the exact same question. He would kind of snort. He would grumble under his breath something about like, well, you know, I'm not going to get into how all scouts do it. He'd give you some weird walk-around answer.
Yep.
But yeah, it's clear that I'm not welcome there around their facility, and so they're not welcome in ours.
Yeah.
Pretty simple.
I would say he's losing it, but he's already lost it.
I mean, I can't believe he answered it.
Like
I just can't believe.
For 20 years of like really not answering questions, yeah. Like 90% of questions, guys, he's always slipping a few answers. But.
Guys, if you got any questions about the game, I'm happy to answer them.
Yeah.
I'm just focused on like, you know,
that's more of a question Charlotte. For our scouting department, or he'd say something else.
Yeah.
But nope, just straight up.
Maybe it's because they beat Charlotte. If they lost, you wouldn't have gotten an answer.
That might also be true. I think he's feels better, a little sigh of relief that he actually won a game.
He's more worried about continuing his grudge with Kraft than he is about,
you know,
winning games or the overall health of his program, which has to be taking a nosedive after this story.
It's a great rivalry where neither is winning. Great feud where right now nobody's winning.
Race to the bottom. That's
Tom
true.
Brady continues to win the feud between Belichick and Kraft.
That's a good point. That's a really good point. All right, more of your feedback here. 617-779-7937. Let's go to John in Plymouth. Hello, John.
Yes, hello, fellas.
Hello.
Two quick comments on yesterday's game.
Uh-huh.
First of all, the quarterback, he's an average. He's obviously a professional player. He's a good player, but he's got a long way to go. Two observations. When he takes a few steps back, he's not going back far enough to read the defenses properly. Yeah, you know, if you watch Tom Brady, you see what I'm talking about. Unless you're making a shot, you know, pass, then I can understand not going deeper back to throw the pass. The other thing is, on the coverage, the deep defense guys.
The safeties. They looked like they were missing.
Finish.
They were missing Jabril Peppers.
He would have. Yeah, he would have gotten there.
Yeah, the deep guys.
So back up.
The X, the Z, vertical routes.
They missed Jabril Peppers a little.
Drake May needs to back up more.
There was a second piece that
I just summed up that whole call.
The previous caller brought up that I wanted to get to.
Yeah,
I heard Greg talking about this a little bit tongue in cheek. Week two is not a must win at Miami, but
it's not.
They're gonna do themselves a lot because it will be a bloodbath if they lose to that team.
Yeah,
Keith,
yeah.
As bad as they looked, and again, they always struggle in Miami. I predicted a loss to Miami before the year. I still don't feel great about it going into this week. The Dolphins.
Sick brag, bro.
The Dolphins are favored, right?
No, I know. But also, doesn't like, and not to go crazy here, but doesn't like week three Pittsburgh looks a lot better than we thought.
If you're 0-2, that one might be a must.
And then you get Aaron Rodgers slinging four touchdowns a game now.
I'm saving my must win for that, but I really, if we're being honest, I didn't think Pittsburgh looked great in that game. Rodgers threw four touchdowns.
Yeah.
He still threw for like 220.
But
it's not like he did that much. They almost lost to the Jets. I don't think the Steelers look great.
But so we just did what happened, right, a couple hours ago. And so everybody has the memory of the games from yesterday and like who looked good, who looked bad. It's only 1 week, right?
Uh-huh.
But Carolina, how'd they look? On the schedule. New Orleans, how'd they look? On the schedule.
Great point.
Tennessee, Cleveland, the Jets twice, the Giants, all on the Miami twice. Like all those teams played just as bad or worse than the Patriots.
Score one for the schedule.
It's still there. Maybe the Raiders are slightly better than we think. The Patriots might be worse, but the teams they're playing the are Jets, all suck still,
the
too.
The Jets might be better than we think.
Oh, no, the Jets might be. The Jets-Steelers one, I don't know how to make sense of that one.
Yeah.
We'll see soon.
I mean, I didn't expect the Jets to hang 30 or whatever it was on Pittsburgh yesterday.
But I don't think Aaron Rodgers is going to be half as motivated to play the Patriots as he is the Jets.
You start 0-2. Let's talk must-win week three. But, I mean, look, not to state anything overly obvious, but you do yourself a lot of favors by going to Miami and winning and getting to 500.
Yes.
We thought you'd win week one. We thought you'd lose week two.
McDaniel's probably fired at that point.
If Mike McDaniel loses to this team,
he might quit by that point.
He could quit. Actually, his press conference after a Patriots loss could be like, that's it for me.
Guys, I'm done.
Guys, see you later.
I lost the team last year. Yep. I'm surprised they brought me back. Yep. We didn't do anything week one. I lost to Indiana Jones. Never stopped Indiana Jones.
No, Indiana Jones still running.
Scored every drive. And, I'm just going to quit on the spot.
Yeah.
David's in the car. Hello, David.
Hi, good afternoon, guys. So I don't know if you guys heard the interview this morning with Mike Vrabel.
We did, sure.
And Curtis,
what'd you think?
So Curtis asked a question, and Mike Vrabel asked him to rephrase the question because it was too much in the question. And that is the issue that I think we're overlooking with Drake May. How it seems like there's a lot of emphasis, a lot of focusing on protecting him versus making more challenging for him. Making him comfortable, more comfortable than versus being challenged.
Yeah, David, the question was about has Drake May won enough games? And you're
please
right.
Please use your time as efficiently as we can.
Vrabel asked him to rephrase it.
Yeah.
And Chris did. He said, how important is it for May to start winning games? He's got to start winning games. If he's not doing that by the end of this year, then we're really going to look at it and go, do they have the right guy? Is he the answer? Can he be the next guy? All these questions about him, big picture.
Because they got to show signs somehow, right?
Doing it after week one, but week one wasn't ideal at all. Nothing close.
Like, wins, clearly, will sort of extend your stay, right? Like, they're talking about it in Denver, I'm sure. Like, Bo Nix didn't look very good, but they won again. Like, last year, he had ups and downs, but they won a bunch of games. You know, Josh Allen didn't play great his first couple of years statistically, but they were winning games. Justin Herbert, kind of the flip side. Justin Herbert was lighting it up stats-wise. And then they're like, all right, we need new coaches, and maybe that'll lead to sort of wins. But if you have a couple of years as a starting quarterback in the NFL and you're not winning and the stats aren't great, the argument to keep you in there is what? Just you were a high pick? Like, eventually they're going to find another high pick.
Yeah. And again,
I'm not saying that's the case. Again, I know people are all fired up about it. It is one game, but, not off to a good start.
There's some stuff I'm ready to say after 1 week where I'm like, man, that's going to get cleaned up quick. The wins, we'll tally that up later on this year. But I agree with the overall take. He better start winning games this year.
Yep, that'd be nice.
Because if he's one real win, but the Patriots were a 4-win team as a rookie and they're like 6-11 this year, there's going to be big questions going into year three about if he's the guy or not. He'll be on the hot seat. We did the same thing with Mac, and I think this guy's better than Mac.
Yes.
But you got to start proving it. 617-779-7937. That's how you get in touch all day long. Here on a Patriots Monday, WEEI Afternoons comes your way at 2 o'clock. They're going to talk to the quarterback of the New England Patriots, Drake May. Maybe ask him about winning a few more, maybe mixing in a few more wins there for Drake May. If you had to guess the mix in week two against Miami, you think they make a concerted effort to come out and be more balanced? I mean, Indy ran on them. They have a better running game in Jonathan Taylor.
Yeah.
But Indy came out and ran on him yesterday.
So did the quarterback. So I think Drake May should get
a good point.
More.
So, okay.
Yeah.
What do you think the mix is in that game? You think we're closer to 50-50?
Yeah. Well, assuming that they're up or down a possession or tied, yes. I mean, if they somehow get down by two, then that throws the whole thing out of whack.
But are they going to be able to play a game in Miami on their terms? I have questions about that.
They
struggle to do that with Brady.
And if they can against Miami the way Miami played this week, then you wonder how many teams they can do that for. Pretty now, bad. All of a sudden, that soft schedule doesn't really matter as much.
Pretty bad.
Yep.
So, look, I think that'll be the design. There wasn't a lot there in the running game last week. I'm curious if it's still a lot of Stevenson or if we get more Trevion Henderson, who was very involved.
Yeah.
In week one, didn't do much with the opportunity.
Did not do much.
But very involved. So I'm curious what that split looks like.
Text line says, after 3 weeks, if they lost them all, they're going to be calling for Tommy Cutlets.
Oh.
Yeah.
Cutlets.
Yeah, no thanks.
Well?
No thanks.
Well?
I don't care if they're 0-17. Give me Drake May. Ride this thing all the way.
617-779-7937. That's how you dial up WEEI Afternoons. You got Hart. You got Fitzy. They come your way at 2 with the quarterback of the New England Patriots, Drake May. I will get you the clip du jour. You're not going to want to miss that good stuff earlier today.
Oh, yeah.
On a Patriots Monday. Plus, it's time for Grab Bag.
this trip to Garden Grove. Smell like
grab bag
inside the van. Oh yeah.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a great conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time for grab bag. It's time for grab bag.
Oh, it certainly is time for grab bag here on Jones and Keefe. Grab bag is brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. We did mention it briefly in the program, but just a quick update on our some of our Friday picks.
Oh, yeah, how'd those go?
The Bozo parlay did not go great.
No.
But there's only one way to go, and that is up.
Yeah.
There are five of us failed to pick even a single touchdown, but that's okay. That's okay. That's why they put 18 weeks.
Someone actually said that's almost more impressive.
That's right.
Yeah.
If you got one, you're like, well, yeah, we went the other way.
Right.
0 for 5. That's okay. Because we were saving it for the survivor.
Oh, smart.
We all advanced this year. Unlike last year where I was out in the first week, we all advanced with wind. I think total we picked three different teams.
I believe the whole station outside of Nick. Somehow I thought it was me. No. The whole station
well,
outside
that might
of
have been
Nick.
The third or fourth iteration.
No, that's true. I think the whole station outside of Nick last year was eliminated by the end of week
two. It was
two,
week two.
In the Survivor. But the entire station's Survivor pool.
Yep.
Nick was the only one left standing after 2 weeks. We're all alive after one.
Because a lot of us were down, believe it or not, on the Patriots last year.
Yeah.
And so a lot of us took the Bengals week one.
Big mistake.
Blew it up.
Yep.
Just destroyed. Sure. Absolutely destroyed.
Sure did.
And then some of you guys picked the Bengals this year, right? You're living on the edge.
Yeah, me and Billy.
They had 4 yards, four positive yards in the second half, but they won the game.
Had them all the way.
They won the game.
They did.
So we'll be back this Friday for another Bozo Parlay and another round of Survivor.
In the town where I was born, lived two men named Jones and Keith. And they spoke on the airwaves in a yellow grab bag. We all live in a yellow grab bag, a yellow grab bag, a yellow grab bag.
Boston Red Sox, Jones, were able to avoid the sweep at the hands of the Snakes yesterday. They dropped the first two games of the series out in Arizona, including our guy, Magnum P.I.G., a.k.a. the Big Stash, on Friday night. Couldn't even really settle into that game. That thing was already over. It was not his best performance.
Served up a tater real early. They were ready for the fastball.
They were sitting fastball. Yeah, I don't know if he was tipping his pitches.
I think maybe they were cheating. The only pitch he throws.
Yeah, they were lacing it.
Yeah.
They were lacing it pretty good.
My buddy referred to you and I as mustache mushes is what he referred to us as.
They say idiots.
Well, that. Yeah. There's a lot of that going on in the text and Twitch chat there. But no, we mushed him with the mustaches on Friday.
It might be a one and done. I thought we were going to wear mustaches every Toley start. Now, the adhesive wouldn't allow for that. We have to buy new mustaches.
Well, no,
every time.
I'll be a frequent. I'm going to need some sort of advanced plan in the Halloween store right down the street.
Well, I'm looking forward to going to that Spirit Halloween.
Oh, it's nice.
Stiz walked in the other day with a new Freddy Krueger t-shirt. Oh, he's like, look what I got.
How about that?
Well, that's pretty
good,
sweet.
Good store in there. So I got to work on the adhesive on the mustaches, though. Yeah.
So I don't think we're going to go as Peyton Toley or Dustin May. I got to rethink my whole strategy for
on the next guys. We got time. Yeah. We got time.
So they, after Saturday, they had lost three in a row, but then they get a 7-4 win yesterday. Aroldis Chapman, Garrett Whitlock continue this outrageous streak.
Yeah.
Chapman's been like next level stuff. Like this is some of the best closer performance that we've seen in the history of baseball. There were some good stats. I think your guy, Boston Sports Nymph, under his new account.
Nymph at it.
Yeah. He had the 27 games, I believe, since May 17th that both Whitlock and Chapman have pitched in together.
Yeah.
They've allowed one total run. Yeah, they're insane.
Honestly, I might have taken the under on that the way they've been pitching.
Yeah, I don't remember. I don't believe you. They've allowed a run.
Chapman struck out the side plus one yesterday, 4 Ks.
Yep.
In that inning, his season ERA. Any guesses?
Chapman's season ERA? Oh, yeah. It's under one now.
0.98.
Yeah, it's
now
under one.
Under one.
Yeah.
I just saw that opponents are hitting 113 off of him this year.
Yeah, I don't even get how it's that high. It doesn't feel that high.
My buddy texted me. Oh. He was saying,
idiots? What'd he say?
No, he said,
sick brag, bro.
Yeah. Yep. He goes, is betting on Aroldis Chapman to win the Cy Young a buying opportunity or a sucker's bet?
I think
he's
Hart,
plus 20,000.
Hart's been championing that he should get some Cy votes.
He bet $5 on it to win over 1,000, to win two PS5s, $5.
Yeah, I mean.
What you would need. I don't think it's
Lego Death Star.
What you would. You could get the Lego Death Star.
You forgot about our units of measure.
So what would have to happen? You'd have to have like Scooble and Crochet to like melt down over the last couple of weeks, and then maybe if he's like hasn't given up a run since May or whatever.
Yeah, I don't think
he's not going to win.
He's not going to beat out Scooble. He should get some votes though. I mean, that's fair. It's probably not the worst dart throw in the world.
Speaking of Garrett Crochet, he is on the mound tonight, late night. The Red Sox are taking on the Sacramento Athletics, first of three from Sactown.
What time?
10:05, first pitch.
That's when it starts?
That's when it starts. 9:05 actually is when it starts, the pregame.
Oh, right
9:05
here.
9:05 right
here. Yeah, okay.
On WEEI, it'll be Garrett Crochet versus Luis Morales, who is a young right-hander, 22-year-old right-hander from Cuba. Crochet, meanwhile, his last time out wasn't his finest.
No.
So hopefully we're looking for a bounce-back performance from one Garrett Crochet. Yeah, it's tonight. And tomorrow, 10:05, and then Wednesday, 3:35 are the first pitches in the series with the A's.
Ooh. Well, I guess it would be nice if I could touch a grab bag. I know not everybody has got a grab bag like me.
All right, college football weekend, not a lot of marquee matchups. Locally, BC lost to Michigan State in double overtime, and UMass fell to Bryant.
Oh, they did.
Bryant.
I heard Wiggy saying that game was delayed, too. I heard that. I didn't hear the result,
delayed.
Though. Yeah, UMass lost to Bryant.
Ohio State took down Grambling 70-0.
That's a good one.
It's a bit much. Penn State only 34-0 over FIU. Georgia had another easy win. A lot of teams scheduled like the bad non-conference teams this week.
Florida lost, right? That was the big loss.
Yeah, they lost to South Florida.
Yeah, now they're ranked.
Who South is that? Florida is?
Yeah, South Florida's 18th.
Oh. So Florida was 13th and they lost at home in the swamp to South Florida. Arizona State was ranked 12th. They lost to Mississippi State. Ooh. And Mississippi State was unranked.
Stark Vegas. Tough place to
another
play,
one of those. Clemson had a dogfight with Troy, but they did win. Oregon was home to Oklahoma State. You see that one?
Yeah, they crushed
69-3.
Nice.
Crushed them.
Nice.
The only ranked versus ranked game was Oklahoma, ranked 18th, defeated number 15 Michigan 24-13. And then I believe the highly paid freshman quarterback for Michigan was like yelling at players on the sideline, Bryce Underwood.
Oh, good.
He also went 9 of 24.
Good.
Throwing, which wasn't
You know
great.
What? Schefter is a Michigan alum. He likes to mix in a lot of Michigan. I didn't notice him tweeting about any of that.
No, not a lot to talk about there. Oh. And of course, Bill Belichick did get his first win, which we mentioned over Charlotte.
Good win.
He was able to defeat Charlotte.
Win and cover. Give him credit. They covered.
Win and cover.
Yeah.
Win and cover.
Yeah.
There goes my grab bag. Watch it as it grabs.
This is fitting, Jones.
Yeah.
Starting tonight. Hashtag Dork, the podcast that I co-host.
Yeah.
We're starting football month.
Football month. Nice.
So Davey Eyeballs and I rewatched Varsity Blues. We're starting with a classic.
Ooh, good one.
So we're going to do Varsity Blues from 1999, which
time flies.
Made me sick when I found out it came out 26 years ago.
Oof.
Like, come on. No way.
No, can't be.
So we're doing Varsity Blues, but of course we do Monday night doubleheaders on Dork. So in addition to Varsity Blues, we're also going to be doing episode one of the HBO series Task. Everybody get in on Task. It's not too late.
Okay.
Only one episode out. It's
only
a Sunday night at 9. I think it's 7 total episodes. It is from the creator of Mayor of Easttown, which was one of the best TV shows, single season TV shows of all time. I don't think that's hyperbole.
One of the best single season TV shows of all time.
With Kate Winslet.
Okay.
It was a whodunit.
Yeah.
It was great. We talked about it a lot at the station at the time. They were in the Baltimore area, I think it was. Or was it Delco? Is that the same thing? No, Delco's like... Anyway, they had the accents.
Yeah.
This one also. This one takes place outside of Philadelphia, so they have accents. It's Mark Ruffalo. I'd take him or leave him. And then Tom Pelfrey, I'm a huge fan of.
Okay.
One episode in the books. Can't recommend it enough.
Okay,
wow. Get in there on that.
So double dork tonight.
Uh-huh. You got that straight. Nice.
Once there was
This is Grab Bag.
Kendrick Bourne has found a new home. Oh. Wide receiver Kendrick Bourne. New home is his old home. Going back to the San Francisco 49ers on a one-year deal.
Yeah, they looked thin at wide receiver and tight end. They lost Kittle yesterday. Yeah. Pearsall made a bunch of plays, but okay.
He had over 100 yards, Pearsall.
Yeah, he latched on somewhere. Good.
Mm-hmm. All right, Rich. Here we go. Background music. Gonna give it away.
Yep.
Abra, abra, cadabra. Let Jones and Keefe reach out and grab bag ya. Jones and Keefe heat up. They can't cool down. The grab bag keeps spinning round and round.
Weekend box office. Now, not a great weekend to be at the box office. Kids are all back at school. The NFL first NFL Sunday of the season. However, The Conjuring Last Rites, which is apparently going to be the last of the Conjuring films.
Are we sure, though?
It's horror movies. You can never say never.
Okay.
Made $83 million domestically, which was far and away number one.
Wow.
They're going to be thrilled with that. They also put Hamilton in theaters.
Hamilton?
The musical?
The play?
Yeah. Made $10 million. People wanted to see it.
Did they?
$10 million says they did.
One-eighth of The Conjuring.
Well, yeah, but Conjuring. Nobody's ever seen The Conjuring. Everybody's seen Hamilton.
They've all seen Hamilton at this point.
Weapons in its fifth week was third, but all the way down to $5.4 million. It's made $143 total. Freakier Friday, fourth.
Oh.
Did you see? No, I'm not going to get it.
Still going strong. Did I see what?
Well, the photo of Jamie Lee Curtis that was making the rounds.
Oh, God. No, I did not.
Nick's already laughing.
Yeah.
So Billy just nods his head.
Remember that picture of Bill that we didn't know if it was real or not?
Yes.
You think this was fake?
No, this was real.
This was real. So she was doing like a promo for Disney. And let's just say she was wearing, I'll call it low cut, like a low cut shirt.
Uh-huh.
Do you see what I'm talking about?
Yeah,
you're looking at
it?
She
indeed,
pulls
yeah.
out her breast and she's juggling them.
Yeah, I got it.
They are lifted.
Dude, fantastic. But anyway, so Jamie Lee Curtis still throwing high heat.
Okay.
Anyway, that's Freakier Friday, because everyone's like, it sure is freakier. Everyone's going nuts. And then the movie Caught Stealing was fifth. So there's your top five at the weekend
All
box
right.
office. Yeah, not bad.
Making your way in the world today takes everything you've got. Listening to Jones and Keefe sure does help a lot. Wouldn't you like to get away? Sometimes you want to go where everybody grabs your bag. And they always grab your bag. You want to be where you can see. Your troubles are all a drag. You want to go where everybody grabs your bag.
All right, do you want your daily Rafael Devers update?
No.
Well, I'm going to tell you. Giants have now lost back-to-back games.
Went down a little bit.
And yesterday, Devers went 1-for-4 with a run scored and an RBI. But yeah, cool. They were red hot. Hot as a pistol. They remain four games out of the third and final wildcard spot in the National League. They're also tied with the Reds and only a half game up on the Snakes and the Cardinals.
A lot of competition.
A lot of competition. They're very busy.
They are 72-71, so they moved to one game over 500, although it's mixed in with a couple of losses. Still 31-40 with Devers.
Uh-huh. That's true.
Give me one bourbon, one scotch, and one grab bag.
Well, Jones, let's find out who was the top baseball performer from Sunday, September 7th. Was it Shohei Ohtani? 2-for-2, two home runs. Was it Otto Lopez? 3-for-4, two home runs, four RBI. Was it Eugenio Suarez? 2-for-5, two home runs, three RBI.
Good get at the deadline.
Was it Carson Kelly? 2-for-4, two home runs. Or was it Hunter Green? Seven innings,
seven.
One earned allowed with 12 strikeouts.
Oh, I do like that.
12 Ks.
Ohtani 2-for-2, two dingers. I feel like we haven't had Ohtani a ton this year.
We really haven't.
Let's go with Ohtani.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's time for Jones and Keefe's
Random. Brandon Phillips.
Eduardo Nunez.
Curtis Luskanic.
Baseball player of the day.
All right, with the Red Sox taking on the A's, we have a former A who played for many teams in his 16-year big league career.
Oh, wow.
Including the Indians, the Brewers, the Astros, the Orioles, Phillies, and Cubs. He was a relief pitcher, notably a closer.
Closer.
For many, many years. Yeah, closer for many years.
Houston Street.
Not Houston Street.
Billy Koch.
Not Billy Koch.
Ooh, great name. Yeah,
good
Billy
one.
Koch,
good
yeah,
one.
Dennis Eckersley.
Yeah. Not Eck. Broke into the majors. This is odd. There's probably a backstory here.
Okay.
Had four games in 1982.
Oh, wow. Okay.
But
I was way off.
Was out of the game.
Uh-huh.
He reemerged in 1986.
Oh.
I don't know if he rebranded or what he did. But he came back in 1986, and then he pitched all the way until 2000.
Wow.
So he pitched throughout the entire 90s.
And you identify him as a closer specifically with the A's?
I would say, well, I would identify him as a closer.
Oh, now we're getting somewhere. Okay.
Yeah. I don't know if necessarily with the A's. I'll also tell you this.
Yeah.
He was a five-time All-Star.
Okay. Where were those All-Star seasons?
Good question. 88 with Cleveland, 89 with Cleveland, 90 with Cleveland, 92 with Houston, 94 with Philly. He last pitched with the A's at 43 years
Dennis
old.
Dennis Martinez?
No.
Oh.
Not Dennis Martinez. He had a career.
Jose Mesa?
No. Joey Tables? No.
Norm Charlton?
No. Oh. Norm Charlton. 43 saves in 1990. MVP finishes of 14th, 15th, 20th, and 23rd.
Wow.
Nothing to sneeze
at. So 90 was with Oakland?
He was.
No. Cleveland.
No, 90 he was in Cleveland.
All-Stars.
Who?
Yeah, I just told you. 88, 89, 90 with Cleveland.
Oh.
92 with Houston, 94 with Philly. Those were his All-Star games.
I thought that was a name guess.
He pitched only twice in the postseason. 98 with Cleveland, 2000 with Oakland.
98 with Cleveland?
He had a career 3.30 ERA.
Did he wear glasses?
He did not.
I'm quitting and looking. I've looked.
You nickname?
Good question, Bill. According to Baseball Reference, Mild Thing.
Mild Thing?
His nickname was Mild Thing.
Is it Doug Jones?
He got it!
Doug Jones, the nice mustache, right?
Yeah.
I cheated.
Tying back into Friday's show.
Twitch chat had it.
Dude, Mild Thing?
Mild Thing is real good. Did you not know that? You just looked it up right there?
No, I think that's one I feel like I've heard, then forgot. I would not have guessed that.
Mild Thing.
Yeah.
Nice.
Pretty hilarious.
Okay. I don't remember him very clearly. Doug Jones.
Doug Jones. Remember there was Doug Jones and there was Todd Jones? These guys were just closers, like old closers?
I thought I had it with Jose Mesa.
Yeah. No.
Not the case. Okay. Well, that's your random ball player.
Five-time All-Star.
Real nice.
Yeah.
What happened between 82 and 86?
There's a movie there.
There's at least a 30 for 30 there.
Yeah.
That's true.
He made $17 million.
Nice. Good, solid career.
Yep.
There for Mild Thing. 617-779-7937. That's how you dial up WEEI Afternoons. Ya got Hart. Ya got Fitzy. And Drake May today on a Patriots Monday. So stay tuned for it. We'll get you the clip du jour. Must tune in for every day, but especially today. Next.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, back here on Jones and Keefe, WEEI, on this Patriots Monday. It is time now, though, Jones, for our clip du jour. Are you ready for that?
Oh, sounds fantastic. What's the clip du jour again?
Well, I'm so glad you asked. It's the clip of the day. And today, like every Patriots Monday, we have tight end Hunter Henry on the program and did something a little bit different, inspired by our interview with him last week.
Hmm. Gave us what I thought was a pretty good idea.
Yeah.
Last week. We were having some fun. We kept asking you about how surprised you were and surprising questions. So you gave us the idea to come up with the Hunter Henry surprise question of the week.
Yeah, and if you could, answer on a scale of 1 to 85. 85 being the most surprised you've ever been, 1 being you're not surprised at all. And we'll ask you a different question each week. Let's get to it, Nick.
It's time for the Hunter Henry surprise.
Henry, touchdown. Whoa.
Surprise, Sydney.
Hey, surprise.
Surprise, motherfucker.
Surprise.
We wasted the good surprise on you.
Golly, y'all digging for the surprise in the day, huh?
Question of the week.
All right, Hunter Henry, how surprised were you when you found out Bruce Willis was dead the whole time in The Sixth Sense?
The guys. What are we doing?
1 to 85.
Okay. I don't know, man. 40.
40. Okay. I was surprised.
And that was the Hunter Henry surprise question of the week.
Unreal that it was a 40.
Yeah, you still can't get over that.
No, it's one of the great twists in movie history.
Wow.
He wasn't surprised.
Guys, what are we doing?
Almost at all.
I'm happy it's the first time he's asking that because we've wondered that.
Right in the middle?
Yeah.
Right in the middle on that scale?
Uh-huh.
Outrageous.
Yeah.
I already told you it's like an 80, 81.
85 being the most surprised.
Panic answer.
Yeah, a little bit of a panic answer.
I think it caught him off guard. I think he was a little thrown off.
I do think he wanted to tip the scale either way.
Correct. When in doubt, go right down the middle.
First time we broke out the scale, so he says, all right, well, this is the first one. What if they ask me something crazy next week? I need to leave myself some leeway.
You could always tie or something along those lines. But
So stay tuned.
Maybe you've never seen it.
The Hunt. Oh, that's true.
He could have said that.
You could have created a massive spoiler.
Yeah, we have a Christian Gonzalez situation there.
Yeah.
No, we're good. It's been out for 25 years. I think we're good.
We'll stay tuned.
Yep.
On Monday, next Patriots Monday, for the Hunter Henry surprise question of the week. Andy Hart is here for WEEI Afternoons. You guys got Drake May today.
We do. How long till we have Hunter Henry?
Wouldn't be the first time.
It would not.
I guess migrate away from the midday show. You got Drake May today.
Yeah, Marcus Jones at 3:15. Drake May, TBD probably after that.
Okay. Rough go for the Pats. You and Ted... certainly saw that. I know you guys were much more down on the Patriots than Keith and I were.
Yep.
So you saw it coming.
Oh, yeah.
You
called the loss.
I picked a 7-point win for the Raiders, so it seemed about right. It was weird because there were aspects of that game that were better than I expected. Like, I think the offensive line, for some reason, I'm more optimistic on the offensive line than a lot of
people. I thought
they
were fine,
I'm seeing a lot of ripping of Will Campbell, ripping of Morgan Moses, PFF grade this. Now, they didn't run the ball. I thought they'd be able to run the ball. They didn't run the ball. I didn't expect the pass defense to suck as much as it did. They clearly have to scheme it up to get pressure. Like, they got pressure, but it was by scheming it up, sending blitzes. When it was just a four-man rush, I didn't really see $190 million in the middle of that defense getting its money's worth. But I also haven't changed anything for the season. I thought they were going to lose to the Raiders and win 7, maybe 8 games. I think they lost to the Raiders and are still going to win 7, maybe 8 games. So I'm kind of even keeled. The one thing I will say... You got a get-right game coming up that I don't know who's getting right. Whether the Dolphins get right against you or you get right against the Dolphins.
Yeah.
So, a lot to unpack because Fitzy and I had our 3.5-minute post-game show last night. So,
you going to replay
it? We're frothing at the mouth. Yeah, we probably should.
You should.
Replay
why not?
It and use that as the leaping off point
to
hear it. The show.
Yeah, so what? You had a four-minute?
I'm sure you listened last.
I did. I was locked in.
4-minute post-game?
Yeah. Well, I mean, and it happened at 7:51 because the Red Sox were in between the Patriots game.
Big
Sox
went over
the
snakes. Football. Right, okay. Yeah, I get it. Well, yeah, so you guys
get out at 7:54:30 like champs, though.
We were good. The music
right
played,
time.
We got out.
Good.
We didn't screw anything up.
Professionals.
Guys, first of all, great show. Electric segment, by the way, with Hunter Henry. The surprise question of the...
He did.
That
was
his
Hunter
favorite
Henry impression.
Piece of audio on the station
he
today.
Grunted and groaned. The second.
Are you surprised that he wasn't
scale.
That surprised?
Well, yeah, that was terrible. No way he really believes it was a 40.
I was way more surprised.
Way more surprised.
What is an 80?
I didn't see that coming.
Hopefully, by the end of the season, we'll find out.
Are you just going to continue with Shyamalan movies first? Just for
no, it's not a bad idea. They're all Shyamalan.
I was inspired.
The Village. It was actually Modern Time.
He's made of glass.
Yeah.
So I was inspired on the way in. I wrote down just a couple suggestions maybe for surprise
questions. Good. Yeah, let's jump
for Hunter Henry. Here we go. Okay. Number one, how surprised were you when JK had a dong in the crying game?
Oh, okay. Yep.
Okay.
I did get crying game submissions.
That was suggested. Yep.
Greg Hill actually texted me. He said 84. 84 for crying game. He did.
How surprised were you when Capone's vault was empty during the Geraldo Rivera special?
Geraldo would have been like an 85.
Okay. Yeah.
Easy.
Yeah.
He was an
How surprised 85. Were you when Will Smith slapped Chris Rock on stage at the Oscars?
I was very surprised.
One, yeah.
Okay.
78. Yeah.
How
yeah.
surprised were you when Karen Reed was not guilty?
Stiz. Still.
Stiz, yeah.
He's still
writing papers
Stiz
about it.
Stiz
was an 85. That was like a 10.
How surprised were you when Darth Vader was revealed to be Luke's dad?
That could be next week's.
Spoiler.
That's good. Yeah.
Now we're
venturing into more
spoilers.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah.
And then if you really want to be edgy, you can go into some other events that take place later this week, but we won't mention
that. Okay.
Very good.
I love that. Good stuff.
Okay. I like it.
So you guys got the quarterback today.
Indeed.
Patriots Monday rolls on with Hart and Fitzy, WEEI Afternoons. You can dial them up, 617-779-7937. We will talk to you tomorrow, 10 o'clock. It's Tier Tuesday. It's Tommy Tuesday. We got a Key for Madness for you, so we'll talk to you then.
Thank you, guys. That was fun.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.